we go. Now, this is a very serious matter. The school shooting just recently in Florida that left 17 dead shocked the nation and started a student-led gun control movement. It also drew attention to the need for schools all around the world to be prepared for just about any type of emergency. The Newfoundland and Labrador Teachers Association, in its most recent bulletin, published an article of school lockdowns and secure school protocols. Dean Ingram is the president of the NLTA, joins me live this morning. Good to see you, Dean.
Good morning, Pay.
Here I am. I have kids gone all the way through school. The last one now in grade 12. The wife is a teacher. I don't know the difference between a lockdown and a school secure mode. What is it?
Well, I guess before we get into that, I think I want to take this opportunity on behalf of all the province teachers to acknowledge and certainly pay our condolence respects to the families of the victims of the Humboldt tragedy. I mean, I think, speaking as a parent myself, as a hockey parent, as I know you've been heavily involved in the hockey scene over the years, I don't think I can imagine how I deal with it as a parent myself, and it's unimaginable, and certainly thoughts and prayers as a province teacher with those families at this very difficult time.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
But that being said, certainly the premise of the question is the difference between secure schools and school lockdown. There is a very big difference between the two terms. Certainly a school lockdown is involved really when you have an armed intruder either directly in the school or very in close proximity to school premises. That's a very serious situation, and which can be initiated by the school administration, but it can only be released from the police authorities. With regards to a secure schools protocol, that's an initiative that's done where the administration feels there's a need to monitor traffic through the school for the safety and security of students. It could be a whole host of reasons as to why a secure school is being initiated. It could be a student that's having a very challenging day. It could be a medical emergency in the school, something where you need to police and monitor traffic going through. But there is a distinct difference between the two protocols.
We don't. I mean, we're not doing this piece for fear mongering or to be sensational, but to prepare for these situations is critically important. How do you balance having the kids, like we all did fire drills,
yes,
right? And we knew the protocol. We knew where to muster out in the parking lot.
Yes.
When you talk about these much more severe practices and protocols, what do we tell the students?
Well, I think what you have to tell the students and our teacher telling the students that is not about fear mongering. Is being prepared for the possibility, as remote as it may be, mm-hmm, that these events may happen. As you mentioned, we've been doing fire drills in this province for decades. And one of the reasons why, and again, to my knowledge, there's never really been a fire in schools and students injured or killed in a school fire in the school premises. But it's that notion of being prepared in case of. That's the reason why. Students don't get extraordinarily panicky by fire drills because this is about preparation for something that may hopefully never happen. But in the event that it does, we're prepared for it.
We, of course, unfortunately pay a lot of attention to American news. I mean, cable news networks 24/7. We see these stories that we hash day in and day out. When it comes to social media and the implications and how that affects teachers and students, you can be anonymous. There's lots of easy opportunity behind your keyboard to say something that may be easily construed as a threat or a warning given to school. We've seen some stories, mm-hmm, come out. They've proven not to be true in the recent past. Frank Roberts High, for instance. What has social media meant to this type of preparedness?
Well, I think what is certainly social media, and you're right, I mean, sometimes there are unfounded things there. I mean, the anonymity of a keyboard stroke is certainly there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of these things that you have to be diligent and take these events seriously. You have to investigate to, while you may believe that the possibility is there that it may not be, you certainly could not take the stance that it definitely is not. These things deserve to be investigated thoroughly, investigated completely, and determination made as the exact nature of exactly what is or isn't. I think society as a whole has to realize that an anonymous keyboard stroke really isn't anonymous, and secondary to that, it can have certainly dire consequences for everyone.
Mm-hmm. What about the Schools Act? I mean, keeping up with the times, we've talked about potential amendments with the issue in Stephenville High with the young fellow accused of sexually assaulting a couple of female students. There's been some other instances that have brought worry or cause for concern from parents. Is the Schools Act keeping up with the times?
Well, I think one of the if I can say the term positive, and certainly use that in very loose terms, is that they came out of the attention given to some of these situations, is that there are some clauses in the Schools Act that do need to revise. Certainly Minister Kirby and myself have spoken about the importance for having some clauses there updated, certainly three there. I think it's important that schools, districts, give them the tools to deal with situations as they arise, and some of the deficiencies in the Schools Act, were certainly a light was shone on that in light of the recent incident in Stephenville High.
Specifically what? What do we need to update?
Well, I think one example that Minister Kirby made point to is the fact that on a student undergoing these situations, there's no provisions at present for an allowance made for an alternate educational setting for those children. That may, again, everyone deserves due process. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty, but there needs to be a means by which the everyone in the school can feel safe and secure going through. Right now, the provision for that was something lacking in the Schools Act. That's one example. And again, whether they would have in the Schools Act in front of me digging through, there's a number of other clauses I could look at too as well, given enough time to actually dissect through these. But certainly a look at the Schools Act is certainly not a bad thing. The one thing I would suggest, and I've had this conversation with Minister Kirby, is that it's very important that as you go through the Schools Act, you engage one of the primary, the most important stakeholder in the Schools Act, the group that knows education best, that being our province's teachers.
It just pops in my head now. It's got nothing to do with these issues we've been discussing. How are you approaching the pending legalization of marijuana? It's one thing when it was illegal, just call the cops. There it was easy dealt with. Now we just have maybe underage tickets for consumption or use. What are you doing to prepare for next fall?
Well, right now, certainly, until we actually see the full legislation completed, no exact means, difficult to prepare exactly for anything. Certainly, our members are aware that this is something that may be coming down the pipe. To state the obvious, and to be honest about it, marijuana is in our schools now.
Oh, yeah?
It's in our schools now. I mean, and these are things that are addressed on a case-by-case basis, school-by-school basis, but marijuana is certainly prevalent in a number of our schools throughout the province. And schools are taking steps now to how they address that when they find this in the schools. Again, off the top of my head, I mean, what exactly we would do in prepare that? We'd suggest that our members, firstly, need to be aware of, firstly, what the legislation speaks to, what the disciplinary codes are, what the expectation in schools are, all these things there. And at some point in time, again, from what I understand the legislation, there will be an age limit to it.
Yeah, it's something like 19, so the vast majority of students in our province of schools will be underage, but it's not criminal at that point. It's just like drinking underage. You get a ticket.
Yes, and I guess if it, the status for that comes down to exactly that, that is deemed as being like a drinking underage, if that's the penalty, if a student is, a youth is caught with marijuana underage, I guess we'd have to treat that the exact same. But again, this is me surmising.
Yeah, and it just popped into my head because, I mean, if we went to the dance, you smelled like booze. They wouldn't let you in. Nothing really happened. If you went with marijuana, it was very likely there was a police officer called. So I just wonder, and it just popped in my head, Dean, and I know we didn't speak about that off air prior to this. Good luck with the conclusion of this school year and preparation for next year. Next time we talk, we'll talk about the pilot project, 40 schools, some numeracy and literacy assistance, how that's going to roll out. But it's nice to see you this morning. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Enjoy the herder this weekend.
I'm sure I will.
Dean Ingram, Clarenville Caribou fan. Let's see what's actually happening in the schools around the province. Greg Smith. The VO.